Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Dr. Brian Hess. He's a professor of political science at Northwest Missouri State University. He joins us to talk about the ongoing conflict between Hamas and Israel after the deadly surprise attack over the past weekend by Hamas. Dr. Hess, I know this first question is obviously very dense and overarching, but how did we get to the actions that led up to last weekend?
Well, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been an ongoing conflict. It has flared and receded over many, many decades. If you were to think of the area of Israel proper, there's the West Bank, which is the area east of Jerusalem, extending to the Jordanian border, the River Jordan. And then there's Gaza Strip, which is closer to Egypt on the Mediterranean Sea to the south and west of Jerusalem, just to orient. And Hamas is the Palestinian organization that controls Gaza, and there's Fatah, which is the Palestinian organization that controls the West Bank. So amongst the Palestinians, there's no one voice to speak for Palestinians, and Hamas is in its own charter, it's a militant organization that is committed to eradicating the state of Israel and reestablishing Palestine across the historic lands that Israel now sits on. So when you actually look at the Hamas charter as an organization, they have committed themselves as an organization to the elimination of the state of Israel.
Would it be correct in stating that this latest incident is a conflict primarily between Hamas and Israel?
Very much so. I think the Israeli government of Netanyahu right now has been trying to thread the needle as far as the various interests that are in play. So in the West Bank, there are many Israeli settlements. And so you have Israeli settlements woven in between Palestinian communities. And the idea there is Fatah as an organization has swore off the idea of using violence and has shown more openness to negotiation if possible. So the government of Israel has felt like that's not an imminent threat. Hamas, on the other hand, has never fully sworn off the idea of using violence or the elimination of Israel. So the government itself has probably, in the hierarchy of threats in the region and the area, Hamas has always been very high on that, and as has been Hezbollah, which is an organization based in Lebanon. Both Hezbollah and Hamas are sponsored by Iran, which is a regional power that has likewise committed itself to resisting, if not eliminating, the state of Israel.
Now, is there a risk that Hezbollah enters the fray?
I think that risk is showing itself already. It's probably not coincidental that Hezbollah has launched rockets into northern Israel, and there's even been some incursions, as I understand, from Hezbollah fighters. So depending on whether there's any coordination or not, the effect is to split the attention and ability of Israel to have two fronts to be concerned about rather than one front with Hamas.
Is there a concern that the longer this conflict goes on, the possibility the more countries become involved in this war?
Well, I don't know if it would devolve into multi-state conflict like the Yom Kippur War of 73 or the 67 War, but there are regional implications. It's quite possible that Hamas acted when it has because it saw that Israel was on its way to normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia, sort of the Sunni power broker in the region. And there were deepening ties as part of these things called the Abraham Accords between the State of Israel and numerous other Arab states in the region. It puts those Sunni Arab states in a difficult place to continue to try to deepen those ties or to normalize those ties. So whereas I don't think there would be a state-on-state war, it does freeze some of these other state and state relations that we're moving forward.
Is that an attempt by Hamas to bring down the Israeli position in the Middle East to where they're back to looking like the aggressors of the region?
Well, I think Hamas as a terrorist organization has been quite willing to exploit how conflicts are obliged to be conducted under international law. So Hamas is not a state actor per se. They haven't signed up to the Geneva Accords and so on. So in Israel's response to their invasion this past weekend, they've always been willing to exploit the appearance of attacking civilian infrastructure or doing collective punishment of Palestinians in response to militants' actions. That's the nature of asymmetrical conflict between a state with chain of command, hierarchy of command versus an organization like Hamas.
Is it possible there are some outside influences looking to create this violent chaos that we're watching unfold? Several people have pointed the finger at Iran as well as Russia in some regards for attempting to sow chaos in the region.
Well, again, I'm not privy to outside influences being behind it. I it would only be speculative of me to try to figure out why Hamas did what they did when they've done it. But again, there are outside interests that will be affected. So I think Iran views this as an opportunity. Any chaos in the region likely benefits them. If only from the appearance of instability, might force up oil prices. So therefore, whatever oil they are selling on international markets can yield a premium. The United States sending weapons to its ally Israel, it now might affect how much armament goes to Ukraine. So there are interests that are in play. I don't know if those interests caused Hamas to do what they did when they did it. And it's also, the timing is such that it's the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. So there was, symbolically, there was something about that date in addition to what actually transpired. And that I'm not sure that that outside interests would have been that keen on picking that date symbolically in addition to anything else that they might have wanted to achieve.
Closer to home, is there any political ramifications here in the U.S.?
Well, many Americans have dual citizenship, and there's a number of U.S. citizens that have been taken hostage from what I've gleaned on social media and the news, so there is that direct connection. There's also the historic ties between Israel and the United States, and whether you materially or diplomatically support your ally. Yes, it will affect things here and the trajectory of political discourse.
So going back to the Middle East, what is it from prior clashes between Hamas and Israel that we can apply to the current conflict?
Well, the state of Israel, the governments of Israel, I think the point of conflict is ultimately to achieve security. So if you're insecure, you got to deal with that insecurity. You know, so the point of using the Israeli military, there is an objective. It would be to serve the security of the state of Israel. I am not sure what the point of using violence is from Hamas other than just to perpetuate more violence that they're perceived to be capable of inflicting harm on the Israelis and or are perceived to be strong because they can perpetrate some of this violence. It is very, very difficult to analyze what the end game is for Hamas other than continual violence in its own right.
So what does this recent conflict mean? Does it mean the end of Hamas, the end of the Gaza Strip, or even on some level the return of troops for the foreseeable future to the Gaza Strip?
Well, I suspect the ultimate solution for Hamas would be for Palestinians to be tired of living under their type of governance, or even Fatah in the West Bank. If you look at the country of Qatar, the Qataris have given $1 billion+ to the Gaza Strip, and it's funneled its way through Hamas. It appears that most of that money did not go towards the benefit of Palestinians, but towards the arming of the militant elements of Hamas. So ultimately, it's probably not going to be a solution that can be imposed from outside. It's going to have to be a solution that comes from Palestinians within. And at some point, your average Palestinian will probably have to take it upon him or herself to say, I don't want to live under this type of arrangement. I don't want Hamas, or I don't want Hamas behaving this way. And that's probably the only realistic way that this can be resolved.
Would that mean a civil war?
Well, the Palestinians had fought a limited civil war between Hamas and Fatah for those reasons that I mentioned earlier. Fatah had acknowledged that there could be a state of Israel. They were willing to forswear violence against the state of Israel. Hamas hadn't. So there are those divides, and it's just a matter of whether the one ideology can take root in the Gaza Strip, or the Hamas's ideology doesn't take full root in the West Bank. Yeah, it's a war of ideas within the Palestinians at this point, but it's also been there's been violence between Palestinians as well.
Where does this conflict put the idea of a two-state solution at?
Well, the two-state solution has been on pause for a number of years, and that gets to Fatah and the Palestinians' inability to remove the current leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or the head of Fatah. He was supposed to have served a 5 or 6 year term, and we're now a decade and a half into his term without elections. I think until or if the leadership of the Palestinians changes, the two-state solution can't move forward. The Israeli state won't be likely to negotiate with its current partners.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just that this is a horrific international incident, and really hope that suffering on all sides is minimized.
All right. Thank you for your time this morning. Once again, that is Dr. Brian Hess. He's a professor of political science at Northwest Missouri State University. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.